Welcome to Postcast. Tonight, the Utah Jazz win on the road for the fourth time this season. They were 3-16 or something terrible. We don't want to talk about that. But they win over the Washington Wizards in a close game, in a building where they seem to always play well against a team they always play well against. And what an exciting game and just great plays and heroes and interesting storylines. And that's why we have Postcast for you. So thank you for tuning in. All right. I got so many thoughts, but I'll let you take over.
Well, what jumps out is the way the Washington Wizards played, meaning the way they turned the basketball over, the way the Jazz energy level was up, and particularly there's just two players, as we said during the course of the broadcast, Epe and Joe Johnson. I thought their energy level was really, really high. Now, you look at Rubio, who had a brawl game, a great basketball game. Other guys played well. But I don't think without those two guys and the way they play, the Jazz probably would have struggled. This is the second year in a row the Jazz have swept the Washington Wizards.
So many different things, and will work. I mean, Epe plays great. Rubio starts the game brilliantly. But let's go late in the game. There's two shots that change the game. The Jazz, who were struggling very, very badly. People are telling me the volume is low, and I don't know why. Maybe – how's that? Is that better? Is the volume louder now? Thank you, Rick Whitehead, for letting us know that the volume is Kyle Short says, nope, now they say it's good. Okay. Thank you very much for that information. So the Jazz had three straight possessions, which were a disaster. Mitchell got stripped by John Wall. Rubio got stripped by John Wall. And then they couldn't get anything out of it, and it ended up with a Donovan prayer. And I like the fact that they then pushed. Donovan brought it up. And they pushed it over Ricky Rubio, right corner three. By the way, Rubio was 1 of 11 on right corner threes for the season before that one. And hits that shot. But I liked the aggressiveness, Donovan pushing it a little bit, Rubio getting out, them understanding that maybe we're not going to be able to get this done in the half court with John Wall, and they make this big play in transition.
Well, and that was huge. And you're absolutely right. They played the game that they started off the ball game play. I mean, they weren't playing to lose there in the latter part of the basketball game, which was I thought was really huge. And then the fact that the Jazz actively, great hands, 15 steals. I don't know if that's a season high or anything, but they had 15 steals tonight, and that turned into 27 points off of turnovers there. That's huge.
And that gets to – so let's get to one of the storylines of the night is that Derek Favors does not play tonight. The problem the Jazz have had is they've been such a bad defensive team without Rudy Gobert recently. Tonight, Epe Udo, 2 block shots, 3 steals, 9 rebounds, 5 of them on the offensive glass, in fact. He really changed this game in so many different ways. He played well offensively early. He hits his 5th highest point total of his career at 16 points. This game really is – it's about the late shots by Ricky Rubio, the other late shot by Joe Ingles, but it's about Epe Udo.
I tell you what, I give him the game ball. That's for sure. I mean, you look at the way he played, he defended, he rebounded, he was able to score. What did he play? His season high was 33 minutes. He ended up with tonight with 33, almost 34 minutes. I mean, he just came ready. I mean, it didn't appear to be tired. Usually when guys don't get in the ball game that much and, their fate – sometime in that third or fourth quarter, didn't happen for him tonight. I just thought he's just a smart player out there, and he gets the job done. Can you rely on him to play in those short minutes and give you something? Absolutely.
It's interesting. This is a tougher matchup as you can get Marcin Gortat. This is, if Udo's – this would be the type of matchup that would be awfully hard for him.
And Gortat, what did he do tonight? 4 for 7, 27 minutes, only 8 points. He had 8 rebounds, though. But the fact that Epe, as you have mentioned so many times, probably sets the best screen out there for any of the Jazz players on the team. I thought the Jazz started to struggle when they started to get away from the dribble handoffs. And as Johnny Bryant pointed out at the halftime, that you just don't dribble handoff. You got to slip some of those screens. You got to go backdoor on some of those screens. You just can't give the opponents – you just can't put them in that comfort zone where they're just switching out there on the perimeter and nothing else is happening.
Some really interesting aspects of this game as well. So if you did not catch the game, the Jazz trailed by 7 after 1. They had a typical to them. They had a great second quarter. They're the number one defensive team in the NBA in second quarters, and they held the Wizards to 18 points. They then bucked a trend and had a brilliant third quarter and outscored the Wizards 37-27. In the middle of that, Rodney Hood gets ejected from the game for getting two technicals. Like, not one in one setting. He got two separate technicals in the ball game. One of them was a really, he was wrong. Ricky Rubio fell into him, not the other player. And on this last one, I didn't see it, but I mean, he just was a frustrated soul tonight. Gets ejected, and the Jazz are able to work without Rodney, without Derek Favors, without Rudy Gobert to be able to stay in this game. And then the Wizards fight back and actually take the lead, Ron, and it feels like it's going to be an awfully lot like the last, and they fight through it. They make enough plays. And frankly, Washington doesn't make the plays Miami made to win this game.
And turn the ball over a couple of times in a crucial at crucial times late in the ball game. And that's exactly when Donovan Mitchell came down, did a Euro step. Donovan Mitchell comes down again later in the quarter and kicks it to Rubio when he knocks down the three. But getting back to Rodney Hood here for a minute, you know, he seemed to be such a quiet guy. And you kind of very surprised that he was chirping that much at the official. Had to be awfully frustrated for him, and you know, to the point where he gets thrown out of the basketball game. But as you mentioned, fourth quarter was good for the Jazz, bad for the Washington Wizards.
Another player that deserves some accolades tonight, best defense we've seen Joe Johnson play since he's been in Utah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was moving his feet, he was really getting after it, and again, I'm going to go back to that wing defense that he had on John Wall over there. I mean, he really got low to the point where you know that if I don't get low, he's going to blow by me. So he knew it. He got very low. He came up with a deflection there, and the Jazz went down and scored on that possession. So that's the Joe Johnson we probably seen 10 years ago, 5 years ago maybe.
I don't know if he ever played defense like that.
Like that, yeah.
The other one I would say, Ron, that's worth pointing out here is we talked about this in the broadcast, and I want your thoughts on Washington. They are not a good team if you score. So they have to come back offensively after your makes. They're 22nd in the league offensively. If you miss, they're 10th. If they turn it over, they're 2nd. They have not been a good late-game team this year. Both John Wall and Bradley Beal have been very poor in late-game situations. Is there a flaw in this group as you evaluate them toward being an elite Eastern Conference team?
The flaw has to be that they don't execute well enough. The flaw has to be that they utilize and try to utilize the speed. They want to play fast. As I pointed out during the ball game, Scott Brooks, the coach of the Wizards, pointed out that they want to try to use the speed of John Wall and got to get guys to run with him so they can get, you know, some transition points and get the defense scrambling and that type of thing. But I don't see it.
Run fast because they aren't good in the half court.
Yeah, well.
And then we got them in the half court. They weren't good tonight.
Well, whatever they're not doing out there on the floor is going to affect them as far going forward. Now, I know they're 5th in the playoffs right now, but if you look at the way they're playing, I don't know if they can get out of the first round.
Pretty interesting that the Miami team, who's got much less star power, is ahead of them in the standings. To see these two teams, see a Miami team that just does not lose to teams that are below 500. They've lost, I think, 3 games all year to teams below 500. Washington lost their 11th game tonight against teams below 500.
It's all about execution. It all is about setting good screens. It all is about getting the defense scrambling. And if the ball is going to stop in John Wall's hands, if the ball is going to stop in Beal's hands, the ball is going to stop in Otto Porter's hands, then what else do you have? And then the fact that they just don't have a bench that can put up numbers. Oubre might be, as you mentioned during the broadcast, he might be the only player that can that's a threat anyway to come off the bench and score big.
That wraps us up. A big win for the Jazz. They go to Charlotte. They come back on this trip 2-2. Things change a little bit. Well, that don't count our chickens, and things have never gone as they're supposed to this year. But let's see if the Jazz can get it done and maybe get some guys back here very shortly with a few days off after that Charlotte game and see if Rudy and some of Raul and some of those guys are right around the corner, hopefully, for the Jazz. Jazz win it tonight over the Washington Wizards in a pretty impressive fashion, 107-104. A huge shot by Ingles and Rubio late, and the Jazz win it. Have a good night and be safe.